Hey, this has got to work out better than those Adam Gottschalk things.
The Midnight Barbecue.
You're listening to Outside the Box with Mike and Leon. And now your hosts, Michael Visaglia and Leon Oliver.
Welcome inside episode XI, episode 11. That's Roman numerals for you, Mike.
Bring them out.
Outside the Box with Mike and Leon here on SeavillePodcast.com. You also may be accessing this link through our Facebook. If you don't know about it, you should know about it. It's Facebook Outside the Box with Mike and Leon. You can also check this out on Twitter at OTB with Mike.
You know me.
That's why no one goes to it. That's exactly
Nobody
why.
Actually knows what it is. It's all right.
OTB.
I'm going to zip it.
On Twitter with OTB with Mike Leon. There's no and in there. It's just OTB with Mike Leon. Also, if you want to email the show, it's Outside the Box with Mike and Leon at gmail.com or the shorter OTB with Mike and Leon at gmail.com. So you can communicate with us and tell us that the show is terrible.
Stop being such a douche to yourself.
No, this show is good.
It's good. Stop being mean about
but
it.
But if
man.
They wanted to tell us that, they could.
I know. And I enjoy the show. I like it. I listen to the podcast.
And we would
after.
Laugh and we would probably make fun of their email on the air.
What do you mean, make fun of their email?
I think if someone sent us an email, you two jerks suck, I think we would have a little fun with that.
The negativity.
I think if someone said that, we would have fun with that.
Bro,
don't tase me, bro.
All our emails that have been positive, by the way.
I know, but I'm saying if someone did.
Yeah.
This show is international, Mike. And when you have an international audience like our show does, someone in Kazakhstan maybe might take exception to something.
Where's the person that was from a different country that listened? Where was it? Belgium?
We have listeners in Canada, Mike.
Okay,
we have
Canada
listeners.
Count.
We have listeners in Belgium. We had a listener in Thailand. Okay.
Somebody was in Thailand and they meant to write something else. Like,
no, this is
what do you do when you're outside?
This is an international show, and before you know it, it's going to go galaxy wide because we're going to get this bad boy up in space. I'll talk to some cosmonauts.
Cosmonauts. It's going to get in space. Hey, 153 likes.
153.
What was your goal? 300.
We're going to get there.
A BK broiler.
No, we're going to get there. 300 likes. Listen, I put it to you, OTB fans. I put the challenge
See,
to
but
you.
People are we not. Get people the, are lazy.
We get the 300 likes. You say, "Hey, Billy, check this out."
People are lazy. People enjoy listening to the podcast because it's something they can do and relax.
You have little faith, Michael.
No. I'd be lazy. How many? You know when you're. Let me put it this way: when you're on Facebook and you get somebody that's like, "Come check out my stupid band and listen to them play in this little amphitheater that's smaller than my bathroom," you know?
Yeah.
And you just go, "Ugh, this crap again." That's what happens when people see this. They go, "This crap again."
But if people are listening to it, it takes an extra 2 seconds if you like it to suggest it to a friend.
You got
to
get on your horse and figure out how to send it out as an event.
I think that's a little bit annoying if it's an event. I unclick events every day, and I get the people that send me these damn poetry jams.
I don't
want to hear your bad poetry.
You think it is annoying.
But if I see someone post a link to something, I'll check it out. But if I see an event, some guy that, you know, I do freelance stuff with the university. I do some side work, right?
Yeah, I know.
Some guy on that list. I'm going to leave his name off here because I kind of like the guy, but this pisses me off.
Do I know who it is?
You probably don't know. Took that email server list, whatever, when the mass email goes out, and used it for his own personal good.
We need to do that.
And somehow it got synced into my Gmail calendar.
Well, why are we not doing this? You should do that.
Because it's annoying, and I can tell you why. So every day now, my phone buzzes like 8:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
Poetry Jam, 7th Street Coffee House. I don't want to go to your fucking Poetry Jam.
Oh, you curse. I don't know if I like you cursing. It freaked me out.
I don't want to go, Mike. And I get this crap every freaking day. I get this crap.
Okay, we won't say
it. It's annoying. And then you get the people. Do you get events from people and they're like 6 states away?
Do you listen to anything I say? I brought up the event topic.
Yeah.
And now you're asking me if I get events?
No, but did
yes,
you get
I
them
said
from
about
people
going into the amphitheater that's smaller than my bathroom.
But did you get them from people that are like 6 states away? Like, hey,
six
come,
states or dates?
States.
Oh,
like,
okay.
Like, hey, come to my birthday party. Because it's in Mobile, Alabama.
Because you're friends with the person.
Yeah, but...
I get one about tsunami relief every day.
What? Well, I mean, that's something that, you could help out with.
I'm just saying that's far away.
You write a check. But it's not like, hey, come to my birthday next Tuesday in Sheboygan, Wisconsin. Well, like, what the hell are you going to do? You're going to get on a plane and go to Sheboygan?
We're only 5 minutes into the show. We're already very angry.
I'm not angry. I got a little Bob Knight in me tonight.
I like it.
I guess it is angry.
Yeah, exactly. Don't throw that stool at my
head.
I
need 12 Sam Adams.
I like. Oh, yeah. How was that? Did you have fun?
Yesterday?
No, you're 8 to 12 beers.
I had a good time yesterday. I bought the Coors Light Home Draft.
Yeah, I saw you went to Sears to take the picture.
I was actually in the apartment.
Look like one of those pictures where you go with your family and you all wear the blue jeans with a white button-down shirt tucked in? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I've never done that, but I know what you're talking about.
They're so cute. Look at him with his
missing front
tooth.
I looked at the background it did look like a what's-name, like a movie, like not movie, but a picture set or something.
What did your girlfriend think of the picture? Did she take it? Someone had to take it.
I think she took it, yeah.
Well, it's only you and her in the apartment.
Yeah, well, I couldn't remember if I self-timed it or not with the phone.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But
I thought it was. I recommended you make it your Facebook picture. And you listened
I did.
To me.
It's a gallon. It was a lovely home draft.
Did you drink it all?
I drank about half of it.
Were you hammered?
No.
So what's half of that? What's half of that?
That thing's a gallon. So I essentially drank half a gallon of beer yesterday.
Well, what does that equal? Like in the beers? How many beers did you drink?
You're asking the wrong guy.
How many ounces are in a beer?
There's like 12 ounces in like a bottle of beer.
How many ounces make a gallon?
Hell of a lot. You gotta talk to like a Brit. I don't know this whole metric system.
Well, I will look at it. I mean, how many do you think you had? You know your body.
I honestly don't know.
You had 8 to 12?
I remember making at least 8 visits to the refrigerator with my frosted beer mug, yes.
Did you at least feel it?
No.
See, that's just depressing.
That's not depressing. It's Coors Light.
But don't you, if you're drinking that much beer, don't you want to have a buzz?
It's American. I like the taste of beer, but it's like American light beer. I'm not putting in American beer. I love my American beer. But it's American light beer. It's not like.
If you're drinking half a tank, beer, don't you want to at least feel it?
I think I would not drink those.
It's the same principle.
Because it's non-alcoholic. That's like taking a bath with a raincoat on. Well, what's the point?
Just enjoy the sound of the water.
I don't think water would sound good if you had a raincoat on in the bathtub. That was the worst sound ever.
Hey, by the way, we have a good interview coming up. Have you maybe heard the little tease in the beginning of the show?
An interview with a very strange
man. I don't
even
want to even call it an interview.
Rambling?
I mean, the guy was... We taped the interview first, but we're going to play it second segment. I'm not gonna give too much away, but this is what the interview's like. So, I guess we gotta finally say newsman's name, who we will not say the name of, which you'll clearly learn about in a second. Tell us about what the radio. Tell us what your favorite sports memory is. Well, one time I saw Muhammad Ali, and did you know that Muhammad Ali had shrimp? teriyaki for dinner, and
you got to get the
teriyaki voice was started in 82.
Well, 1976, I was drafted for the U.S. Army, and I also had my first Tom Collins drink. Yeah, Tom Collins was named after a Louisville, Kentucky farmer.
Callahan.
That's a good impression. 20 on Callahan. We're going to interview, or we're going to have the interview next.
You can tell that he's here now, too, because the smell of Salisbury
steak. Did he smell bad
tonight? The smell of Salisbury steak is now currently wafting through our luxurious studios. How could you eat that every day?
Salisbury steak? I don't know. How could you? Why don't you ask that in the interview?
I didn't think of it.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Maybe they're on sale. Maybe they're like $10 for a dollar.
I think honestly, when you don't have as many of the white pearlies in your mouth and you need to put food in, mashed potatoes, corn is easier than, I don't know, anything that involves chewing.
Then why don't you eat chili?
Because that guy doesn't cook. How's he going to cook?
You can microwave chili.
Hold on.
Well, that was nice.
I had to get that out. But you got to buy. But it's hard. You don't just buy chili at the supermarket. You know,
it's not the best chili in the world. You can buy a can of chili.
Let me get him in now and ask him why he doesn't eat chili.
No, I'm not going to do that.
Hold it down. Let's ask him why he doesn't eat chili.
Why he doesn't eat chili?
Well, I mean, he likes. I think those meals are very
salty.
It has
an acquired taste.
Yeah, and they're super salty, and they just make him happy.
That's what's all. Speaking of making happy, I know you're not a like a restaurant chain guy. You prefer to eat it.
That's not true. I like chains.
We just had this conversation the other day, and you lambasted me for going to this chain.
Which chain?
Red Lobster.
Got to stop coughing. Can't stop. I want to go to the Red Lobster in Charlottesville very badly. You can ask my fiance. I've been saying every day.
You
so
told
clueless.
Me that you could go somewhere else and get a better meal of the same caliber and the same price.
But there's a part of me inside that wants to go to that Red Lobster. Every time I kept going to her, I'd be like, Jess, did you know they're building a new Red Lobster? No memory that I've told her this every day for the last month. I was giddy about it. It looks nice. It does look nice. See, now you're coughing.
I've been coughing every day for the last like 6 weeks. It's
all mental with your cough. You got the mental cough.
I got the mental broadcaster's cough.
But
I go to the Red Lobster, and what does everyone love the Red Lobster? You love the cheddar biscuits.
And the lobster, I would think.
Well, the lobster too, but the cheddar biscuits are very good as well. Everyone loves that. I wanted to get the rest of mine to go. In the doggy bag.
And I've heard this story already.
Well, I'm telling everyone else. So I asked for the biscuits that we had left on the table. Can I get that to go? I would like to heat that up in the morning. Be a nice breakfast, maybe. The lady comes back, not only with a bag to put the 3 or 4 that we had left in there, but there's a bag of biscuits, like a large brown like lunch bag that you would put your child's lunch in. There's like 8 biscuits in there. So I had like 12 biscuits.
Did you eat them all yet?
No.
How many you have? Let me guess.
I had 2 this morning.
You had 6.
I had 2 this morning. No,
what
do
you put on them? Jelly?
I just ate straight up. I heated them up and ate straight up.
All right, favorite cereal for breakfast all time?
I'm not a big cereal guy. But if I had to go cereal, it would probably be Raisin Bran.
That's your favorite cereal, even as a little kid?
Yeah, I like the raisins.
It's impressive. Not like Fruity Flakes or Fruit Loops.
No, Cocoa Krispies are good. I can eat that occasionally.
But what's good about that is it makes the milk chocolate.
Yeah, it makes the milk chocolate or the Cookie Crisp, but at that point, you might as well just eat a damn cookie.
Well, you can do that too.
What's the difference between Cookie Crisp and a cookie? Aren't they the same thing?
Well, they're mini and they go in the cereal. It's like if you took cookies and made them the size of nickels.
But I always thought maybe there was like some extra vitamins or minerals or something in there.
No. It's all marketing crap.
So you're telling me that that's a small cookie in a bowl.
I think so,
and
right?
There are parents that are buying their children a box of small cookies in a bowl.
Are you
going to
get on parents
breakfast?
For giving their kids unhealthy food?
That is a fantastic segue, Michael.
I'm not a
7-year-old child.
Well, one might dispute that.
No, mentally.
Can we get to the McDonald's store in a moment? I have some beef with you.
What did I do?
Well, I still don't understand this whole toilet paper thing. It bothers me. It's still eating me up inside.
What are you talking about?
When you moved out of the apartment,
yes.
We used to live with each other.
Okay.
You had like 24 extra rolls of toilet paper.
It wasn't 24. It was like 12.
Okay, it was 12. And you said, I don't need them. I have enough where I'm going. You realize that toilet paper is an item that you're going to always need more of, unless you own a bidet.
I realize this.
Explain your reason. I mean, thank you for the toilet paper. You could never get enough.
This was loose packaging.
Okay, this wasn't the kind of toilet paper. It wasn't like newspaper rough. It was nice and fluffy and soft, and it's not going to irritate you.
It was in a package. It was in a package that was already open. I don't want to have to carry handfuls of loose toilet paper. It's just easier to go buy another pack. And I did have a nice surplus. It was okay to spare.
Can you spare a square?
I had several squares to spare.
But you will always need more.
That's very true.
Because you're gonna always need more because your body is going to create filth. And waste that you need to get rid of, okay? I'm just surprised.
The unsavory turn.
Well, anyway, speaking of toilet paper, a restaurant, I suppose, that causes people to use a lot of it. What is that one? You got a piece of paper in front of me? You got a story you're interested in talking about?
Do you see another shot at the fast food?
I do it to piss you off.
No, maybe
I don't
if
really
they.
I like McDonald's, but I know
maybe
that pisses
maybe
you
if
off.
They change the name to Shea Donald's and charge $38 for a salad, you would get
you go to Red Lobster and get $20 for biscuits.
That wasn't $20 for biscuits.
How much would you have it? What'd you have?
I had a steak and a lobster.
How was the steak?
It was very good. Actually,
how was it cooked?
Very, very tender. It was medium. I like a medium.
What
steak.
Kind of steak?
It was New York strip.
You know, this is funny. Is I can out-eat you in steak.
No.
Yes.
No.
Have we been having this fight for years about who can eat more food?
It's not a good thing to say, but I probably consume more red meat than most people.
I think I could eat a larger portion of red meat, and you would get full first. Bleh.
No.
Does that make sense?
Do
you know any butchers or any steakhouses that listen to this? We should get that one in Dallas.
If I knew a butcher, I probably wouldn't be alive, Michael.
We should get that one steakhouse we called in Dallas.
Papa's Brothers.
Have them sponsor a meat off with us.
I don't like the sound of a meat off.
Well, you and I are having a meat off.
Have the Papa's Brothers outside the box
meat
steak
off.
Challenge. I'm going to call it steak challenge.
I'm calling it the meat off.
What's wrong
with meat off? You have a problem with that?
it sounds like something that they do in San Francisco.
Okay.
And speaking of San Francisco.
Yeah.
Speaking of San Francisco, have you heard about this? The city of San Francisco, they want to become the first U.S. city to pass a law that cracks down on the practice of giving away
free... I think there's a dead fly in your paper. By your left hand. You might want to move that.
No, there isn't.
Yeah, there is.
Oh, wow, that's
no,
on
the
calendar.
Other paper.
That's disgusting.
Yeah, there's a dead fly there.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, I know you're in the middle of your story, but I just didn't want... Oh, it's still on there.
Fantastic clean studios.
Look at that. Oh, it's disgusting. You got flies all over your paper.
That's the cleanliness of the studios here.
Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
Anyway, San Francisco wants to be the first city to crack down on the practice of giving away free toys with unhealthy restaurant fast food meals. So basically what they want to do is, you know how you go to McDonald's, and you did this when you were a kid. You get the Happy Meal.
Happy Meal, sure.
And you get like the little Matchbox car or something in there. The girl gets the little Barbie doll or something. And you
of course.
You get your chicken nuggets and your fries.
And it's four nuggets.
Yeah. They want to ban the practice of giving away the toy because they feel like that encourages children to eat fast food, which is not good for them.
Right.
Now, I am one. Should your 7-year-old be eating McDonald's a couple times a week? No, it's probably not a good idea. But if you want to give little Jeffrey a Happy Meal because he got an A on his test or something, you want to take him out, fine. Give him a little toy, that's fine. But the city shouldn't have the power to say you can't give out a toy because this food, you're not eating broccoli and celery.
You know what, Leon? I absolutely agree with you.
Really?
I do. You make a valid point. The city should not control what parents decide to do with their have their kids to do. What is next, Leon? We're going to be in Charlottesville, and the city's going to say, you know what? You can't go to your farmer's market. I want you to go to Burger King. If it sounded like that, people would be in an uproar. It's the same concept.
And look, I understand. Kids need to eat healthy. Is there an obesity problem in this country? Is there an obesity problem with kids? Sure, without a doubt. But when have you ever seen a 7-year-old walk into McDonald's on his own and buy a Happy Meal and walk out? That 7-year-old has to get there. Someone has to give him the money to buy the Happy Meal. It's the parents that had to be responsible for this.
Parents.
I feel like there's no personal responsibility as parents anymore. Everyone wants to, and I know far be it for me to say the guy
you're
who doesn't have any kids.
You're going to be a dad, and you're going to be sitting on the couch, and you're going to have a Whopper in your right hand or your left hand. In your other hand, you're going to have the Chicken Crispy Snacker from KFC.
Griffin?
And your son's going to go, hey, Daddy Leon, can I have some of your chicken sandwich? And you're going to go, no. No, Benjamin.
No, because
you need to have your broccoli.
Hey,
I'm eating the Chicken Snacker.
Hey, I don't give out bites, okay?
Hey, Marv Albert.
I don't give out bites. There is no, can you have a piece of my sandwich? This meal is
you
mine.
You wouldn't share with your own kid?
I don't do bites.
But it's your son. Your son. You wouldn't share with your own kid?
I would buy him.
Do you know
him,
how this person came on the earth?
I would buy him his own.
Let's say you did not adopt. You put this person on the earth, and they're coming to you and say, can I have a bite of chicken? And you said no. That's just sick.
I would give him a smaller portion of chicken.
Oh, no way.
Because
all right, I want your son on the show tomorrow.
I have portioned a meal that I want for myself.
But it's your kid. You make exceptions for your kid.
I understand this. Maybe this is why I don't have a kid right now.
No, there's other reasons. Well,
that's very true as well.
It's because you're too busy with your meat off.
But, oh, God.
Full circle, baby.
I mean, if I have something in front of me, that's my portion of it. I want it. I don't want to give a portion because then it's less than what I wanted.
Okay, okay.
But anywho, I'm not going to sit there.
Parents, I agree with you. Parents, oh, I do these agree days, with you.
Parents these days, they want to let the city ban the Happy Meal and stuff where they take responsibility, or they feed their kid crap and then they sue because the kid has diabetes and he's like 12.
Have you seen the kid, and I agree with you 100%, have you seen the kid, I can't remember which country it is, that was 2 years old and chain smoking?
That little bastard was smoking!
2 years old!
It
was bizarre. Did it freak you out? It scared me.
That kid's going to have a heart attack at seven.
You know, he's already in, they put him to rehab.
Are you serious?
To get him to quit.
If you haven't seen the story, where was it? It was like...
I saw it on the Today Show
on NBC.
Indonesia.
Something like that.
He's a two-year-old.
He's 2 years old.
Look how excited you are.
He was like... he was like morbidly obese. He was like almost 100 pounds or something like that. I mean, he was large.
He was a big baby.
And
big baby.
He was smoking. He had the face... I don't even know how to hold a cigarette.
I don't either.
He had the whole like smoker's hand, and he was blowing rings.
I don't want to say you look cool smoking, but it was what, you know how people are like, ooh, I look cool, I'm smoking. It's like that kid already has it down.
It was like the Joe Namath, the two-year-olds. I mean, that's how wild he was.
He's in
smoking.
Rehab.
Good for him. I'm glad he decided to get his life together.
His parents put him to rehab. They're like, this is a problem.
Those are the worst parents in the... What kind of a parent are you to let your two-year-old smoke?
It's a different culture over there. Apparently, like, 10-year-olds can walk into your convenience store and just buy them.
Just buy
cigarettes. And they don't ID you. And we're talking about 10-year-olds, not a 15, 16-year-old where maybe it's iffy and the age is on the cusp. We're talking about 10-year-olds.
I feel like it used to be like that here, where it's like, yeah, you had to be 18 to buy cigarettes or whatever, but...
Like in the 1950s?
Yeah, I feel like I've had older relatives and stuff tell me that, you know, their parents used to send them down the street and say, hey, buy me a pack of smokes. And they were like, hey, my dad sent me to buy this. And they would bring it back to their dad. I feel like that used to happen here.
You do that with your kid at KFC. Go down and get me a chicken snacker. Have you had that thing? Two pieces of chicken with cheese in the middle?
You mean the double down thing?
No bun. Just two chicken as the two pieces of chicken as the bun.
It's the double down.
Have you had it?
I had one a few months ago.
Grilled or fried?
It was the fried one, and they screwed mine up. There was supposed to be like
they put bread on it.
There was supposed to be like some sauce or something on there. I think there was supposed to be like bacon on there or something too. And it was like meat cheese.
You want to know how I order when I go through a fast food line? Because I always get the same thing.
You order like the most condescending way ever.
No.
Yeah, you do.
No. And let me tell you why I order like that. It's the same way if I'm ordering Chinese food, I got to be like, super easy to understand.
Ordering Chinese food is like the most difficult process ever.
Well, it's
anyway.
Similar at the drive-thru. So, for example, I am picky about my fast food. I always get the same thing, a plain chicken sandwich. And when I mean plain, I mean two pieces of bread and a piece of chicken. So when I go to the drive-thru, I go, they're like, all right, do you want to place your order? I would like a plain chicken sandwich, just the bun with a piece of chicken. Plain, just a bun and a piece of chicken. I've been burned so many times with that godforsaken mayo. Oh, the disgusting wilted tomatoes. I have to make sure that I say it like that. And I'm sorry if it's insulting, and there's could be a person back there going, I have a PhD
back in my country, I was a janitor. Now, that was a shit job too. Back in my country, I was a pilot. Now I'm making this.
Exactly. And I'm going to go, I'm sorry. Maybe they're going, oh, that jack off. I know how to make a damn chicken sandwich. But I got to be sure because I've been burned so many times. And I go, excuse me, there is a cheese and mayonnaise on this. Oh, when you said plain, I thought you meant you didn't want the pickles.
No, but you go through it. You're like, okay. I want a chicken sandwich, just a bun and a bread. No lettuce, no pickles.
That's right, I know.
No tomatoes, no cheese, just a chicken and the bread. And they're like, okay, one plain chicken, just a chicken and the bread. You say it like six times to
him. You know what? It gets it right.
The guy's making like $3.85 an hour. He's going to hear your crap.
You know how many sandwiches I probably have with nice loogies slipping
probably
on them?
So they probably know your voice when you roll up there.
I've seen you at the drive-thru. It's like, yeah, give me a number 7. Would you like that quadruple sized? Yeah, we can do that. We can do that. Yeah. Can you do 8s? Can we 8 times it? Yeah, let's do that.
Okay, come on. There's a limit here. Come on.
You've done that before.
I am a sucker for the large size, though. I really
That's
am.
That's what she said.
Yeah, well. I am a sucker for the large size.
That's what she
said.
And
quite often, it's not because I want like the more fries. Usually, it's because I want a bigger drink.
Oh, I thought we were going to... Okay.
You know, and... So I end up getting the larger meal because I want the bigger drink.
Right.
Which is a stupid process, but yeah, it is what it is.
Sometimes I feel like when I get the smaller size, I'm jealous of the person with the larger one.
You feel like less of a man?
I feel like less of a man.
Yeah, a little sandwich in me.
Yeah, I was like, oh, that guy got more fries than me. I don't know how I feel about that.
It is something
or
like...
Sometimes we'll go. I remember we went to Wendy's one time and I'm sitting there. I'm next to you. I've got my chicken sandwich. I got my French fries. You pull out your hamburger, your French fries, and then I just start eating your French fries.
That's
considering you don't share with your son. I'm sure that pissed you
off.
That's
a big pet peeve of mine too. My girlfriend does that. We'll go somewhere. And case in point, we went out to dinner when we went to the Red Lobster. I got my sides. I got fries and I got broccoli. Okay. Because I want some fries, but I wanted to be a little healthy, so I got the broccoli.
Meanwhile, you've stuffed 12 cheddar biscuits down your
pants.
That's
not true. So she went really healthy. She got broccoli and something else. I forget.
It was green.
As soon as my plate comes, hand reaches over, and my fries start disappearing.
You're like, hey, I wanted the fries.
I wanted the fries. Or like, if we go to McDonald's or something. Oh, or Wendy's. Her favorite little thing is, I just want a Frosty. That's it. I just want a Frosty. I'm not hungry. I'm good. She gets a Frosty. Next thing I know, we get back. My fries are disappearing. And then she does that nasty dunk the fry in the Frosty crap. That's disgusting.
That's good.
You dunk fries in Frosties?
I haven't done that in so long. I honestly don't remember if
That's
I like
gross.
It or not. For as much shit as I talk about Wendy's and Burger King and all of it and McDonald's, holy crap, they should be sponsoring us. How much time have we spent? Half of our shows have been spent talking about that grease that goes in your stomach.
Well, you know, it's funny. There's the Big O and Dukes podcast, which is kind of an inspiration for me with this. They did a podcast. They used to do a podcast called Snack and Soda, where literally they would review and discuss fast food and the latest chips. They'd be like, well, Frito-Lay has a new barbecue chip coming out, and they would pass it around and eat it and critique it.
I like this idea. Let's get something in here next week and eat it.
We can eat in the studio.
But don't tell. I eat in the studio. On game days, I did.
Yeah, you leave the remnants, your dirty Tupperware.
Let's move on from that. Okay, that was a sensitive subject of mine.
Along with your socks.
I'm going to Mickey Tavern tomorrow.
Oh, I have a gift certificate there. I've yet to go.
To Mickey Tavern?
Yeah.
Would you steal it from the station?
I'm not going to divulge.
Did you really?
No, I did not.
So how'd you get it?
I was worried.
Here at the station, they give away Mickey Tavern. If people listening that aren't from the area, it's a fried chicken / mashed potatoes.
It's like old country style food.
Right, and it's in the Monticello area.
No, I was given it by a member of the staff here.
Who did? Rat him out.
Who always tries to equate hard work with giving away with free food?
Okay.
You know, I don't need any more money, but here, take this. And eat
I'll say in radio, you get a lot of free food. That's probably like $5,000 a year that you just don't really equate to. Where's the free food?
That's true. And I feel like the bigger market you get in, the better the food is. I'm listening to radio in D.C. the other day. And they're like, oh, there's lobster out here in the conference
room.
We've
had decent, the free food Fridays. We get decent food in here from, like, restaurants.
That's the one. So, in radio, you make $3.14 an hour. But occasionally occasionally someone brings you Jolly Ranchers, a handful of Skittles, and a half-eaten cupcake.
There were cupcakes today.
There were cupcakes.
You said they were delicious. I did not have one.
But, see, should we sue because they're going to give me diabetes because we were eating their cupcakes?
Yes. Should we get to the... An interview. I gotta beep that crap.
You almost went the whole time without saying his name.
Okay. Wow. Anyway, this is Outside the Box, episode 11. Hope you've enjoyed. Coming up next, stay with us. The man, the myth, the legend. We finally have him on. There's a picture on our Facebook page, which Leon will forget to put up.
No.
The three of us together.
There is a picture that will be up on there, and there also, didn't have a chance to do it last week, but it's appropriate now.
What's that?
It's just the Cowboys fire Wade Phillips.
Fight through the coffee. Go, big guy.
It's his doppelganger. This guy looks just like Wade Phillips.
Very true.
So we'll put it up on there. You tell us what you think. Does he look like Wade Phillips? Can he be the next Cowboys coach?
He do. We are going to have food in here, and we're going to taste it. We're going to try something. Something fun.
I don't want anything highbrow. I don't want anything that has more than four syllables.
Salmon.
There was a movie called Slammin' Salmon.
Scallops. Hilarious.
I feel like that's smelly food.
Frito.
Frito?
It's a Frito.
I don't like Fritos.
You don't like Fritos?
No, Fritos. You smell a person that doesn't shower.
We're moving on. Outside the box, outside 11, you're a fool.
Fritos are disgusting. Mincers.
Hey, this has got to work out better than those Adam Gottschalk things.
The Midnight Barbecue.
Midnight Barbecue. Yeah. This is our own little experiment similar, but don't ever compare me to
that. No. That's the only time I can remember anything like that used in one of these studios towards the door. I still see one of Adam's cohorts in that. He works at the city. He works with Rick Barrick.
Oh, really?
The city council.
What's his name?
David Dillahunt.
David Dillon.
Oh, that was the camera guy.
DND. His initials are DND, just like do not disturb.
Well, obviously you're hearing the voice of Chris Callahan as we got into the topic of a former person that used to work here. Chris,
yes.
How are you doing today?
I'm just fine. The day after.
Football, that is.
The day after football. Yeah. And of course,
we had a busy one yesterday.
The Sunday after elections, which is always crazy.
Yeah, well, now, how many elections have you covered here at INA?
The first one was the 1973 governor's race.
Mm.
Who was in that?
Mills Godwin versus Henry Howell. It was
called Mills Godwin. They named the high school after him.
Yes, they named the high school after him. He was the only two-term governor of Virginia in the 20th century, because in Virginia, the governor cannot succeed himself.
Yeah.
Bob McDonnell cannot run again in 2013, which is when the next time the governor's race comes up. Whoever is elected, the only thing we know for sure is it will not be Bob McDonnell because
the
state constitution prohibits it.
Can't do back-to-back, yeah.
Can't do back-to-back. Well, only state in the country with it.
You are just a wealth of information, Chris.
Now, when I first became a voter in 1968, 30 states had that situation. Now we're the only one.
Stands out.
No.
Chris, how long have you been here at WINA?
For 37 years.
37 years. That's a lot of news. That's a lot of coverage. Oh, yeah. Is there a story that maybe sticks out in your mind? Maybe like, the strangest news story that you've seen or covered here in 37 years?
I'll just give you one little anecdote because this is something you can relate to. I was on the
No.
I don't mean you in particular, but 37 years ago, I was on the phone. It was a Monday afternoon. It was in March of 1981, and I was on the phone talking to a woman who was a member of the House of Delegates, who eventually wound up becoming state attorney general, the only woman that's ever won statewide election in Virginia, Mary Sue Terry. And we were talking about some aspects of what had just passed in the General Assembly session, fairly innocuous topic. And all of a sudden, I had to get off the phone because President Reagan had been shot up in Washington, D.C.
Oh, man.
Granted, that's 100-something miles from us, but it's still a story we have to cover because it's the President of the United States and some wacko had shot him.
Hinckley.
As we found out, it was John Hinckley from the Highland Park High School in Dallas, Texas. Same school that brought us Jed Williams.
Ooh. All right. Now, you started 37 years ago here,
yeah.
INA. What triggered you to get into the news and your background before your time here in Charlottesville got you interested?
Well, when I first came to Charlottesville as a UVA student at the age of 17 back in 1964, I was at WUVA, the college radio station, which at that time was on grounds. It was in the basement of Lefebvre House. It was also a time when the College of Arts and Sciences of the University of Virginia was all male.
No, there were no women.
There were no women in the College of Arts and Sciences. There were women in the engineering school. There were women in the architecture school.
Just that one department.
That one. But of
any
course,
particular reason?
That's because every school determined its own admissions.
Right.
So the architecture dean, if he found some young woman coming out of high school that was he thought would be a good architect, or the admissions, right. we could let them in. But the College of Arts and Sciences remained all male.
Hmm.
Matter of fact, you know, that's the way it was until 1970. But that's 6 years after I first came here.
Let me ask you, Leon and I are sports guys here.
Sure,
at the
station.
You've seen a good. You've seen how many sports guys coming out of the doors here?
Let me tell you, the first time I ever went to a UVA football game was against Wake Forest.
Yeah.
That was in September 26, 1964. The same day that Gilligan's Island made its debut on national television, September 26, 1964.
I
believe you.
Well, you can easily verify that.
Yeah, Google.
Okay, yeah. And Wake Forest is the opposing team. One of the guys that was on the Wake Forest team was the guy who was later in the Brian song, the story about Gale Sayers.
Okay.
And his roommate,
Brian
Piccolo. Right.
You're a smart guy.
Yeah.
Leon.
I watch a lot of Jeopardy.
Yeah, but he was on the opposing team. And and that was his senior year as a Wake Forest player. He came to Charlottesville.
And he became a broadcaster for INA.
No, I don't think so. I think, as the movie will tell you, and it was played by James Caan, right, in the movie?
I'm sort of curious.
Yeah.
Where do Leon and I rank in terms of broadcasters in INA that you've seen come in and out of the doors?
Oh. Let me tell you, are we
on the higher level, the
I'll
lower, somewhere in the middle?
Well, of course, you're considerably younger, but let me tell you, some of the younger broadcasts, I was here when Smokin' Doug Logan was hired. He had been working at WELK, which is a station that no longer exists. It was at 1400 on the dial. Now there are other stations.
Yeah, we don't go there. Yeah, we don't go right of the dial there.
But that was another station. It was a station where Dick Mountjoy had worked, and that was an AM only radio station that had no FM mates,
and
what have you. And Smokin' Doug came to work for us. Well, that was his name.
He was a
Purdue graduate, a boiler baker, and he thought that Smokin' Doug fit fine for him. He's crown
so he
crown,
named he named himself.
He named himself Smokin' Doug. And on his 24th birthday, we got to break the story on WINA that Gene Corrigan, who was then the athletic director, had fired Sonny Randall, who at that time was the football coach, after a 1-9 season.
Right.
Okay, so I got to break it on my Sunday morning shift. I was doing, in essence, what someone else we know does right now. I was the board op for the Sunday morning
grandpa.
Show. Hey, the grandpa, yes.
The grandpa
I was
show.
Doing what grandpa does 35 years ago, right. November of 75. And
wow.
We had to, Larry Richardson, the station's owner, called up and said, "Hey, I'm here with Gene Corrigan. We got an announcement." And so I talked to Gene Corrigan on the telephone. And he told me that, you know, the Sonny was out.
Right.
So the only problem was, of course, we had to make an announcement on the air, and it cut into some of the time for one of the church shows, for which the church people were not happy. But we did tell the world that Sonny Randall was gone, and we got it straight from the UVA athletic director.
So Doug did a good job?
He did a good job.
Now, how about in 15 years from now when you're here?
And he's also the guy who's on the tape of the only ACC championship in men's basketball we've ever won.
1976.
Now, I'll tell you one thing about that, though, because every place that UVA has ever played basketball, whether it's Fairweather Gym, which is on Cars Hill, it's right next to the president's office, Mem Gym, which was built in the 1920s, University Hall, which opened in 65, and John Paul Jones Arena, which opened in 2007, they're all still here.
Yeah.
Every single place where UVA's ever played basketball.
Still here.
Men's or women's. Except the place where we won the ACC title, the Cap Center in Landover, Maryland, that's gone.
It's now a shopping mall.
Now, in 15 years from now, are you going to, when somebody asks you about Mike and Leon, will there be a Mike and Leon story?
I'm sure there will be.
You don't know what it is right now.
I have no idea what they are.
Oh, that's disappointing.
Well, that's because history is yet to be written.
Sure.
You know.
But you do have it for the other sports guy that used to be here, the Midnight something.
The midnight.
The barbecue?
Oh, the midnight. Oh, yes.
You sound
of course,
down
right.
on that.
Yes. The midnight barbecue, man. Oh, yes. There are stories.
for radio?
I guess they could be if they were.
Yeah. Now let me ask you.
Edited carefully.
Yeah. I know you have preferences with soda, and you're a big Pepsi drinker.
Absolutely.
So is Leon. You're 100% for Pepsi, right?
Yeah, pretty much. I will drink Coke if it's out of the fountain, pretty much. But 100% Pepsi.
And why the disdain for Coke?
I will drink Coca-Cola if I go to a place and it's the only thing they have.
But if you had the option.
If I had the choice.
You really taste the difference?
Yes.
Is there really a difference?
Yes.
Yeah. Mike's an RC Cola guy.
Well, that's fine. I like RC Cola, but of course you can't get that most places.
How about like a Diet Pepsi?
No, Diet anything. Diet, I don't care what beverage it is.
Right.
Whether it's Coke, Pepsi, Dr. Pepper, I don't. If it's got Diet, just like Duke, is always a four-letter word.
Well, it was four-letter words in Virginia yesterday. Yeah.
It always is, but no, Duke is always a four-letter word.
That's very true. Interesting, Virginia lost to Duke yesterday. First time that Duke took three in a row from Virginia since they took five in a row from 74-78.
Yeah.
I did a little research.
Yeah, well, good.
That's about the only thing I know.
Yeah, okay, well, that's good.
So, you know, Chris, so you've been around here a long time, and you look here, and we got all this new board that Mike still doesn't know how to use.
I know how to use this. He's lying.
So, you know, what was it like 37 years ago? What was a radio studio like then? I mean, the equipment. It was far different from today.
First of all, in those days, when there was considerably more regulation of the radio industry, we had to have the studio wasn't just the stuff that you have now, but we also had a lot of the stuff that would now be part of the engineer's part of the building was in the AM studio.
Right.
You know, in other words, I had to take transmitter readings. I had to take look to make sure the tower lights were on out at our transmitter site, which is off of Lambs Road out behind Albemarle High School. It was sort of like being an air traffic controller.
And trying to fly the plane.
And in other words, making sure that the planes don't fly into our tower.
Right.
but all those things more or less were relegated under deregulation in the early 80s to somebody who actually is an engineer as opposed to
a bunch of radio dudes.
And I had a third class license, which meant that I was able to take transmitter readings and make sure the tower lights were on. But everybody had to do that then. Yeah, that was quite a different era. And you actually had to take a test, a FCC test. Everybody who was a board operator.
Had to take a test. Well, we'd have a lot of failures.
You'd have to take a test from the FCC. In other words, it wasn't something where you sat in a high school gym somewhere and took a test. You know,
I think we would fail.
Yeah, we wouldn't be here right now.
You actually had to go to an FCC office and take the test.
That sounds scary.
Well, I had to go.
Don't curse.
I went up to M Street Northwest in D.C. and took the test.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, in December of 1970.
Chris, I know you're a big big TV guy, obviously. Is there one TV show that stands above the rest that you'd say you could not live without more than any others?
Well, a lot of them have come and gone.
Sure.
It could be off the cycle. Gilligan's Island was one of my favorites.
Favorite of all time?
Yeah, and the Munsters.
What about right now? Is there something right now that you
right
like
now
to watch?
It's pretty lousy time for television.
I'll tell you what I have, though. Actually, I've been DVRing a ton.
What's that?
Boy Meets World. Love
that
show.
That's actually a good show. No.
I have it. It's set in the
morning. One of the Friday night ABC staples.
Yes. Yeah. I have it on, and I watch it at night now. I put it in the DVR.
I love that show. I missed the TGIF on Friday nights. The Family Matters and the Boy Meets World.
Full House.
Full House. The Step by Step.
Step by Step.
And some classic Americana right there. Speaking of Americana, Chris, you told a great story the other day, the Corey Barefoot, President Obama came and visited Charlottesville a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And you knew every presidential visit to this city. And you were at a presidential visit at a very young age.
Yeah, I was at the age of 5 months. My father was in law school. My father was studying to take the bar exam, which would happen later that summer of 1947. And I was living where the John Paul Jones Arena is now. After World War II, because there were so many people that came back to school on the GI Bill, and there had been no construction anywhere during the 30s and the first part of the 40s, the federal government put up these little Quonset hut / trailers in places that were owned by the schools. So UVA had created Copley Hill. Copley Hill was for married students and people going to school on the GI Bill that were already married. My parents were married in Alexandria in 1944. I was born in January of 47. My first home, the home that appears on my birth certificate, was Unit 29, Copley Hill, in Albemarle County, Virginia.
Mm.
You know, and my parents' occupation was student. I mean, it's been a long time since either of them were students, but that's what they were doing at the time. My mother decided that she would take advantage of a sort of a community-wide offer to come up and see President Truman speak at Monticello for the 4th of July. Now, those days, in 1947, they didn't have the naturalization ceremony. That didn't start until the 60s.
He just sort of talked.
He just talked, but he's the President of the United States.
Yeah.
So my mother went up there. He said it was heavy and I was hot. I was heavy and it was hot. You know, that's all I know. I, you know, because of course I was 5 months old. All I don't remember anything.
Well, maybe that's what got
you
in.
But I did see President Truman speak. He wore a white. I've seen pictures of him from that day, and he wore a white suit, white linen suit, which is kind of the typical
Colonel Sanders.
Sort of a Colonel Sanders suit.
I guess nobody Facebooked or tweeted.
Well, nobody. Not in July of 47.
So you could say maybe that at a young age, sparked an interest. Maybe that sparked a career for him.
But my father had no interest in going. My father, who actually was more of the politico
because
of his family, but he was studying for his law to bar exam, so he didn't want to.
How old were your parents then?
My parents were, let's see, my father would have just turned, no, actually later that month he would have turned 28, and my mother was 26.
Hmm. Now, for people listening, some of our listeners are not from Charlottesville. Yeah. If you've been here a while, if you had to describe Charlottesville in a few sentences or whatever you need to do, how would you describe this city?
Well, some people who are coming here with sort of a derogatory attitude, like it's called a one-horse town because there's one major industry, which is the University of Virginia. All right. When I first came here as a first-year student, the town more or less stopped north of the Barracks Road Shopping Center and the Ridge Drive-In. Ridge Drive-In is where the Kroger is that's off to the right before you get to Kmart as you're going north.
That was a drive-in. Sort of the with the school, and then you have your little two-lane road that has your grocery stores now on it, malls, Targets, et cetera. Yeah. That wasn't there is what you're saying. Right.
Well, 29, there was a U.S. 29, but it was a whole lot narrower and a whole lot more of an up-and-down trip because it's now been smoothed out over the years. They've been a lot to make that a... Believe it or not, 29 North has been improved. I know it's maybe hard to believe. And 250 West, well, you know, once you left the area where the bypass goes, you know, going out towards the border, that wasn't here when I came.
Right.
Yeah.
It was all new.
It was all new. It was all just, you know, forest.
So what would you describe the city? I mean, is a good place to visit?
It's a nice place to visit. And actually, it was a good place to live.
Yeah.
A lot of people loved it. You know, they came here and they never left.
Right.
You know, I can't begin to tell you the number of those dormitories over there at UVA were from people who had moved around a whole lot of places before they came here, and then once they came here, they never left.
Now, a staple, Chris, and anybody knows the TV dinner. I mean, I feel like you should be their spokesperson. I mean, you know, they're good stuff.
Well, you know, I'm old enough to have been around before there were TV dinners. The TV dinner wasn't introduced until 1953.
What did you do?
Well, of course, I was only six in 1953. So.
What was the reaction to that? Like the American public?
There were a lot of people.
That's probably a big deal.
Well, it was a big deal. You know, I can remember when the channel changer was introduced in 1956.
What would you do without the channel?
Well,
changer?
I'd be in a lot better shape. You know, there used to be a joke that people, like my father, would say, you know, that's why we have kids, so they can get up and change the channel. You know,
right.
you tell them go change the channel.
Sure, sure.
And it was like something from Buck Rogers. These first channel changes.
Yeah,
they did work, but you had to point them in exactly the right direction.
Were the TV dinners, were they better then? I mean, well, were they more of a
actually
high
by large?
Food?
They're made by the same company. Most of them.
Swanson.
They've had a
stranglehold on the TV dinner industry forever.
Well, but they're a subdivision of Campbell Soup.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I used
Macon,
to
Camden, New Jersey.
I used to eat the TV dinner.
That's a place you don't want to go.
I know.
No, stay clear there.
I think it's like the highest crime rate in the country.
It's one of the highest crime rates.
And they
in
make and they per make capita. Bad turkey
per
and
capita.
Stuffing
per capita. Yeah. I mean, Camden's
obviously
not that large a city.
Right. You can't compare it to LA.
I used to eat the TV dinners when I was a kid with Daffy Duck on them.
That's right. Yeah.
The kids' cuisine.
The kids' cuisine. I honestly don't mind. I don't mind the TV dinners, but the mashed potatoes are disgusting.
They are.
It's like grainy. You know, you taste it. It's like
the gravy's never good either. The gravy's never good.
The brownie's good.
Yeah, the brownie's good. The string beans are subpar on some occasions.
But what's your favorite? You like the
turkey? I like the turkey, and I also like the Salisbury steak.
My dad told me a story once. He was at the supermarket, and it was the day before Thanksgiving, and he saw a man buying a turkey TV dinner, and it just made him really sad.
Well, you know.
I mean, on Thanksgiving.
Well, the thing is, it's something to eat. It's a legitimate food product, so.
I know, but I think
it could be worse things. I had to spend Thanksgiving with
Leon
him.
Leon and I one time made our own Thanksgiving. Oh, we were so full by the end of the day, I could not move. We had our own turkey.
We cooked.
We
for
had
like,
a meal for 10 people.
We cooked for like 12 people. It was gluttony at its finest.
I mean, I was rolling around. We were watching the Food Network. Couldn't even move.
Wow, the Food Network.
Wheel us out of there.
Great.
Well, Chris, we appreciate the time. I was thinking that I think you have to be on the air.
Well, no, actually, I do have a lot of work to do.
Yeah, because I'm thinking, well, appreciate the time, but we don't want dead air and Grandpa running in. Oh, no. Chris,
Well, you know, if you've ever seen, I'm sure you have never seen, The Wild Bill Hickok, which is one of these westerns from the 50s.
I missed it.
But his sidekick was Andy Devine, who was this large, rather portly actor. He's long gone. He's been dead since like 77. But Andy Devine had one line in his thing. Hold on, Wild Bill, wait for me.
Rising, surprising, advising, realizing she's sizing me up. Her bikini small, heels tall. She said she liked the ocean. She showed me a beach, gave me a peach, and pulled out the suntan lotion. Now, I'm not fast, but this girl was faster. She was looking for a real good time.